Macroeconomic demand patterns. Macroeconomics is the analysis of the behavior of the overall economy, supply and demand in aggregate, in response to various market forces. Supply chain managers use information on the trend of the economy by country or region, or globally to estimate how this will impact the organization's industry, the organization, and its supply chain strategies. Exhibit 1-17 shows how the overall economy goes through cycles between periods of expansion and recession, or depression, in terms of gross domestic product, GDP, over time. The size, amplitude, and duration of each wave can differ significantly from cycle to cycle. And while the overall trend of the economy over many cycles has historically been upward sloping, this growth trend is not guaranteed. Near the peaks of a cycle, unemployment is low and production is at or near full capacity. Near the troughs, employment and output are low. Innovation can trigger periods of expansion. Economic scarcity, political events, or financial instability can trigger recessions. Exhibit 1-17, Economic Cycles and Long-Term Trend. Since these economic swings have such a large impact on supply and demand, economists study them to determine their causes, what shortens or sustains them, and how to promote stability through public policy. Having a basic understanding of these theories and how current political forces align with them can help supply chain managers modify their strategic plans to reflect the current and predicted future economic conditions. Real GDP and weighted average price. Real gross domestic product is the total value of all final goods and services produced within a given set of economic boundaries, such as a country's national boundaries. Sometimes real GDP is studied against the weighted average price of all products and services sold in the same economy. When overall prices shift higher, people can afford fewer goods and services. When prices are lower, people can afford more. Conversely, and as an opposing force to this effect, when overall prices shift higher, suppliers want to make more. When prices are lower, suppliers will be less motivated to produce and will cut production and idle workers. These two opposing forces work to balance each other out in the long term to a point of equilibrium. Let's look at the impact of these macroeconomic forces at a few key points in the economic cycle. At the end of a period of growth, weighted average prices will have gone up to the point where people cannot afford as many goods or services. Supply will lag this trend and will be producing as much as it can to take advantage of the high profits that high prices entail. Note that even if demand is extraordinarily high just before this turning point, supply will not be infinitely high. There is a physical limit on an economy. The total amount the economy can produce based on the scarcity of labor and materials and diminishing returns created by ever-increasing business expenses. The high supply and low demand will generate a surplus of goods, which will further reduce profitability. Plant closings and layoffs will occur, helping to trigger a recession. Weighted average price will fall and the economy will work toward equilibrium, but perhaps the pendulum will swing beyond this point. At the tail end of a recession, weighted average price will be low and so demand will be high. Even though suppliers will be less motivated, they will still want to produce some amount of goods, because labor will be plentiful and cheap and because they have equipment and other overhead that is costing them money regardless of whether or not they produce anything. So supply will start to rise. As long as the weighted average price stays relatively low, there will be high real GDP and a period of recovery will begin. During this period, there may be shortages because aggregate demand outstrips supply, which will tend to increase prices and bring the economy toward equilibrium and perhaps beyond. During the strong part of a growth phase, prices will be relatively low and total real GDP will be high because there is more real wealth and thus more consumption spending. Real GDP will also be high, in part because as more money is circulating, interest rates fall, which increases capital spending. As the economy prospers but has not yet raised prices beyond the point people can afford, the point of equilibrium will be reached. The point of equilibrium will also be the point of full employment for the economy being studied. Full employment is when the only unemployment is from frictional or structural sources. Frictional refers to normal unemployment, such as new college graduates looking for work and people between jobs. Structural refers to changes in the structure of available work, for example, workers who need retraining because their skill sets are obsolete. The potential output of the area's economy at full employment is also called the long-range aggregate supply. Interpreting macroeconomic information. Macroeconomic information cannot be directly applied to one industry's or one company's products. It relates to trends of all goods in the economy in the aggregate. How do economists put this information to practical use? Changes in the macroeconomic environment, such as a market adjustment, for example, the correction in prices for homes when the housing bubble burst in 2008, have effects that can be predicted using economic models. Other factors, such as population demographics, for example, a higher proportion of adults at retirement age, can also have a predictable impact. In general, factors that reduce household wealth will reduce demand since consumers will have less to spend. Market interest rates are also a factor. When they are low, businesses have an incentive to borrow to make capital investments and start projects because the return on investment is promising. Similarly, if a country's net exports increase, aggregate demand increases and vice versa. Export levels can change due to changes in exchange rates. Depreciated currencies increase aggregate exports and demand, while appreciated currencies reduce them, or when other countries increase their GDP. Note that if input prices, for example, the cost of goods sold, increase, the supply will decrease. If raw materials become scarce, supply will decrease, but abundance of materials increases supply. Similarly, an increase in taxes or regulatory costs decreases supply. An increase in productivity relative to inputs will result in larger real GDP levels at any price. This could be due to a new technology or better educated workers. Inflation and deflation. Inflation is a sustained increase in the general level of prices for an area, while deflation is a sustained decrease in prices. One way to detect inflation is with a consumer price index, CPI, which is a sampling of the actual prices of various consumer goods. Inflation occurs when consumers have more money available to spend but the supply is scarce. Creditors are harmed by inflation. Debtors are helped. Inflation also harms consumers on fixed incomes. A primary purpose of government central banks is to control inflation. A very small amount of steady inflation is desired to minimize the risk of deflation, but high inflation or deflation needs to be prevented. Recessions and depressions. A recession is when real GDP declines for two consecutive quarters. If the long-range aggregate supply decreases during that time, or if the contraction is severe or prolonged, it becomes a depression. Metrics. Supply chain managers need to scan the macroeconomic environment for multiple countries and economic regions. In addition to the Consumer Price Index, the Consumer Confidence Index, CCI, provides leading information on likely future demand because it polls consumers' feelings about the economy and how likely they are to make purchases. Modern economics accounts for the strong influence of often irrational human emotions, while in the past it focused on purely rational decision-making. Another index of value is the Producer Price Index, PPI. The PPI measures the prices received by domestic producers for their goods and services, which can help indicate producers' opinions of the economy. PPI can also help when determining how to set contract terms. Indices such as these may be known under different names in different countries, and some countries may have more historical data available for comparison than others. The methods of collection may also differ, so values for different countries may be more or less comparable. Globalized sources of information are especially important for supply chain managers, since they buy and sell in so many different countries. For example, the World Bank provides worldwide governance indicators for 215 global economies. This resource can be found in our online resource center. These key performance indicators track fairness of elections, rule of law, control of corruption, and other transparency and effectiveness measures. They also track the growth trends of GDPs. In addition to GDP, the World Bank and other sources such as the International Monetary Fund, IMF, and the World Trade Organization publish economic indicators such as gross national income, government surpluses, deficits, and indebtedness, consumer savings, and foreign investment. A link to IMF data is in the Online Resource Center. Government agencies publish metrics for their specific countries. Privately funded research organizations publish economic outlooks. Large organizations may have consultants or in-house economic experts on staff. Risk management business units may also have compiled economic reports and analysis that are available for review.